book of 2 Kings is where we begin today, chapter 1, verse 1. This continues right where 1 Kings left off. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study and to the entire book of 2 Kings as we look at it verse by verse. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. After Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel. The king of Israel dies, and things change after people die. They change for the one who dies, obviously. They go to heaven or to hell. And things change for the survivors, too, because we are all connected in some way. And after the death of Israel's king, Moab is able to rebel. Verse 2, now Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself. So he sent messengers saying to them, go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury. In other words, go ask the devil if I'm going to live. Well, that's what the king of Israel in essence does. They call him Baal-zebub, but the power behind that so-called God was Satan. When people think they may be close to death, they sometimes get real spiritual. The problem is they often look to a false God for hope instead of God Almighty. And that's what the king is doing right here. And it's going to prove to be just the final nail in his coffin. Verse 3, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? You know, it would be understandable, I suppose, for people to worship false gods if there was not a real God, or if the real God did not care about his creation. Then I can see, you know, wandering off looking for something to believe in. But it is foolish to chase down a nothing God when we have a real one who loves us. Well, the king of Israel was a very foolish man. Verse 4, therefore this is what the Lord says, you will not leave the bed you are lying on, you will certainly die. So Elijah went. He will die. The king will die because he ignored God. Even in his desperate situation, he did not seek the Lord. And it illustrates that those who try to survive without God will learn the hard way that they cannot. 5. When the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, why have you come back? But he knew something was up. They never could have gone on their mission to the god of Ekron, Baal-zebub, and returned this quickly. And so he asked, how did you make it back so soon? It makes sense to him. Things that do not make sense do not just happen. There has to be a reason. And we may not know what the explanation is, but there is one. 6. A man came to meet us, they replied, and he said to us, go back to the king who sent you and tell him, this is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending men to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. And so these messengers of the king, they deliver God's message to the king instead of completing the king's mission and going to inquire of the false god. We must always obey God, even if we must obey or disobey civil rulers or any other authorities to do it. God is first. Verse 7, the king asked them, what kind of man was it who came to meet you and told you this? Well, really, who cares what the man looked like? He spoke God's word. The king should have recognized the word of God, and maybe he did, but maybe he just didn't admit it. The issue is not what does God's prophet look like. The important thing is to obey the word of God that he speaks. But isn't it true that some people who are uncomfortable with God's Word and don't want to submit to God's Word, try very hard to divert attention away from the real issue, which is obedience to God's Word. They'll try to divert attention onto something else that doesn't really matter. Verse 8, they replied, "He was a man with a garment of hair and a leather belt around his waist." The king said, "That was Elijah the Tishbite." Elijah was a casual dresser, even for that culture. How we look is not nearly as important as how we act. He didn't look like much, but he acted real good. Verse 9. Then he sent to Elijah a captain with his company of 50 men. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of the hill, and said to him, "Man of God, the king says, come down." And this was not a friendly invitation either. You don't need to send 50 soldiers to invite someone. This was an attempt to arrest the man of God. Verse 10, Elijah answered the captain, "If I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." Then fire fell from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. The man of God represented God. Attempting to arrest him was in essence attempting to arrest God. And it didn't work, as you can see. It backfired. The arrogant, those who do not respect the Lord, can expect to get hit with judgment by fire from God if they don't repent. Verse 11. At this, the king sent to Elijah another captain with his 50 men. The captain said to him, "Man of God, this is what the king says. Come down at once." This king of Israel, he doesn't care about his men. That's for sure. The first 50 men were killed because of his rebellion, but he doesn't care. He just puts 50 more in danger because he refuses to repent. Boy, you know you are depraved when your sin hurts others, but you continue to do it and you don't care because you just have to rebel. Verse 12, "If I am a man of God," Elijah replied, "may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." Then the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. He says, "Well, if I am a man of God, then let fire fall." In other words, you say I'm a man of God, you and your 50 men, let's find out. And I guess they were right, because fire fell and consumed them. 13, so the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. This third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. "Man of God," he begged, "please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men, but now have respect for my life." Well, this captain, he felt he had to obey the king, and I suppose he did, but he also wanted to live, so he really humbles himself before the Lord and before the prophet, and he begs for his life. When people learn the truth about how God hates rebellion and sin, some will repent. Most will not, but some will, like this man, and that's why the truth must be told. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him, do not be afraid of him." So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. Did you notice that the captains who had demanded what they wanted from God and from God's man, did you notice how they experienced God's anger? But the one who humbled himself was spared and was even given what he wanted. It illustrates the fact that humility pleases God. But like the Bible says, he who exalts himself shall be humbled. 16. He told the king, "This is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. And the implication is that the king would have been healed if he had repented of his idolatry and if he had looked to God for healing instead of turning to the false god. He could have had his healing. He could have been saved if he had done that. But he didn't. And like all who will experience God's wrath, they had their opportunities to avoid it, but they didn't take advantage of it. Verse 17. So he died according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Because Ahaziah had no son, Joram succeeded him as king in the second year of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. As for all the other events of Ahaziah's reign and what he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? He died. He died because he worshipped something other than God. That is the end of all those who put other things before God. He died because of his sin of idolatry. There aren't many people bowing down before a statue and calling it a god, but there are some who bow before statues and they treat it like a god, and it's the same thing. If someone's focus is on someone other than God, and they attribute to that person glory that is reserved for God, that person is an idol worshiper. God says, I am the Lord. My glory I will not share with anyone. Next time, chapter 2. Until then, so long, everyone.